James, you studied for many years the Armenian community in Iran, and you traveled to Iran. But before getting into that subject, let's talk about Iranian and Persian identity. What are the differences, and is it correct to use the word Iranian and Persian interchangeably?
Mm-hmm. I've had a conversation with a number of people from what I guess called linguistic and ethnic minorities in Iran about this issue. They all argue that they're Iranians, but that the term Iranian and Persian are not synonymous. This is a mistake that Persians, who speak who are the majority, make, that they feel that being Iranian and Persian is the same thing. But for those who are Azerbaijani speakers, Armenian speakers, speakers of Baluch, Kurdish, other languages, they disagree with. Now, there are those, of course, in those communities who do accept that Persian and Iranian are the same. And they are those who usually see themselves as having a very separate identity to Iran. But for the sake of argument, Dr. Emilia Nersisyans, who's a professor of anthropology at Tehran University and herself an Iranian-Armenian, she stated that she's an Iranian who speaks Armenian and is a Christian, as opposed to defining Iranians as primarily Persians and Shia. Now, this is because there's a whole debate going on in Iran that's been going on for at least 100 years about what are the components of Iranian identity. I've written about this in multiple areas, multiple articles, and I've put it down to there's two main arguments on opposite ends. There's what they call Iraniyat, or Iranianness, or Iranism, and Islamiyat, or Islamism. So is Iran an Islamic country, or is it an Iranian ethnically country? Now, these two things are not also separate from each other, because much of what people point to as being Iranian literature, particularly Persian language literature, is Islamic in nature, such as poets such as Rumi and Hafez are writing about Islamic themes. At the same time, many of the Islamists who are against the idea of ethnic identities because they see it as dividing the Ummah, or the global Islamic community, they engage in Iranist language. A good example of that is the former foreign minister, Velayati, who stated that 50% of Islamic civilization is Iranian civilization, that the Iranians have contributed a great deal to the development of Islam. The same is true of Ahmadinejad's protege, Mashayi, a very controversial character, who caused a storm in Iran when he said that that Islam was given to the Arabs, but then God made sure that it came to Iran because he knew the Iranians would preserve it in its true and correct form. And this is quite humorous for some, but quite controversial for others in Iran. Particularly the Iranian sect of Shiism has developed as very distinct. And for this reason, Shiism is often seen as more Persian or more Iranian than it is seen as Islamic, by some, not by all. And some Iranians say, we chose Shiism because the Arabs hate the family of the Prophet, and so we hated the Arabs, so that's why we chose that religion. From the perspective of religious minorities, what it's meant is that they have felt quite excluded, particularly under the time of the Islamic Republic, because the country has been defined primarily by religion. And because they haven't shared the religion of the state, they felt like they're foreigners in their own country. This is particularly true of Armenians, who already have a very formed idea of themselves. They would say to me, well, I'm not an Iranian. Some of them say, I'm not an Iranian because Iranians are Muslims and I'm a Christian, so I can't be Iranian. It's interesting that the current government in Iran of Rouhani has tried to deal with this a little bit. They've stopped using the term Akaliyat, meaning minority, to describe Armenians, and they've said we're going to call them Iranyani Ghere Musalman, which means non-Muslim Iranians. But it's interesting because I saw a number of Armenian leaders praise him for doing this, but when I spoke to the Armenian contacts I have in Iran about this, they didn't really care. They're like, oh, well, I guess I'm a minority. It doesn't really matter. So again, it really comes down to how people position themselves at a particular point in time. Sometimes when Iranian Armenians are talking to me, they are quite happy to emphasize their Iranian identity. But if they're around other Iranian Armenians, they're more likely to emphasize their Armenian identity. With case of being Persian, they themselves call Iranians Barsi Gner, meaning Persians. And there's a famous book by an Iranian Armenian author, Zoya Pirzad. The title of it escapes me at the moment. I think it's called The Day Before Easter. is the Persian title. I'm not sure if it's been translated into English. But in that, it's a story about intermarriage between Armenians and non-Armenian Iranians. And in it, a woman is marrying an Azerbaijani Turk, and her family says refers to him as the Persian, and he corrects them and says, "Oh, well, actually, I'm a Turk." And the woman has to explain to her fiancé that all Armenians call Iranians Persians. They don't know the difference between them. So there is a strong connotation, even in Armenian minds, between the idea of Persians and Iranians.
James, in the first chapter of your future book, you state that Armenians have played an active role in the formation of modern Iranian identity. How this happened?
It's mainly through several persons who have done this. So one of them, one of the most famous ones, was a man named Mirza Malcolm Khan, who, although he converted to Islam to further his own career, was still essentially an Armenian. The Armenian community still claims him. Articles that they write about him, don't refer to his conversion to Islam. And the Shia clerics don't like him. They refer to him as the atheist Armenian. But he was a strong advocate for reform and modernization in Iran, the introduction of the telegraph, Western-style schools, Western political institutions, and the idea of a constitution, for which he was exiled several times. And he had a strong input on the development of the idea of a standard language, a unified press, and a unified government, rather than a regional government that existed at the time, as well as a constitution, which then was very influential in the constitutional revolution that happened in 1905 in Iran, where Iran for the first time had a constitution. During that time, many Armenians were involved, particularly Armenians from the Tashnak Sutyun party in Iran were actively involved in the constitutional revolution. Interestingly, it was happening at the same time that there were violence between Armenians and Azeris in the Russian Empire, whereas in Iran, the Tashnak Sutyun and the Iranian Social Democrats, which was an Azerbaijani ethnically political party, were in a coalition with one another in making sure that the constitutional revolution survived. A leading figure of the constitutional revolution, Yeprem Khan, who was the chief of police of Tehran, was also Armenian. Now, Iranian Armenians have a very ambiguous attitude towards some of these people. Some of them want to celebrate them. Others say, well, Mirza Malcolm Khan, we understand that he kept his Armenian name, Malcolm. We understand that he married an Armenian woman. He is accused, his father, who also converted, was buried in an Armenian Christian cemetery. Malcolm Khan, bizarrely, even though he was Muslim, he married his wife in an Armenian church, and he was always accused of not really converting by those around him. Other Iranian Armenians say, well, he converted, so he ceases to be Armenian, because you have to be Christian to be Armenian. And people like Yeprem Khan, they say, well, he was really a Russian Armenian. He wasn't an Iranian Armenian. However, throughout the 20th century, particularly in politically left-wing movements, Armenians were heavily involved in Iran. For example, the founder of the Iranian Communist Party was an Armenian, Avedis Soltanzadeh. Ardashir Ovanesyan, one of the senior members of the Tudeh party, also a left-wing party, was an Armenian and eventually fled Iran and settled in Soviet Armenia. And many more were politically active or culturally active in defining Iranian identity, mainly in filmmaking. People like Samvel Khachikyan, Varouz Karim Masihi, Arbi Avanesyan, these people made films about Iranian topics which really helped define Iranian sense of identity, which transcended regional differences, linguistic differences, and so forth. Similarly, Armenians like Viken were central to the development of Iranian pop music. So in these different spaces, they played an active role. And again, one of the biggest areas, which is often unsung, where Armenians were important, and also Assyrian Christians, was in the development of roads and the truck driving industry, which brought Iranians from all sides of the country together for the first time and in contact with one another. So in multiple areas, they were involved in the development of Iranian national identity.
James, what makes Armenians survive for so long in Iran compared to other countries like Poland? Mm-hmm. Is it religion, or there are other factors as well?
There are a number of factors. Religion is one of them, because intermarriage has usually meant, when people have intermarried, and it continues to be the case in Iran, they often find the community turns their back on them. And it's a very taboo issue, intermarriage. So that means that very often Armenians only marry other Armenians. It used to be more of a Christian identity, so Armenians and Assyrians intermarried, particularly in areas where Assyrians live, which is the northwest of Iran. But because Armenians were the main Christian group in Iran, they essentially had plenty of people to intermarry with across the country, to marry with across the country. Now, so that's one aspect. Another aspect is their proximity to the homeland, which in recent years has been even more pronounced. So now that Armenia is an independent state, it's very easy for them to visit Armenia. It's cheap. Because the wages are higher in Iran as well, it's easy for them to fly Armenians to Tehran to give public lectures, from intellectuals, from members of the government, also bringing sports people to Iran to compete from Armenia. So these have had a significant aspect. The clannishness of Iranian Armenians has also helped. But in comparison to, say, Lebanese Armenians, one of the interesting aspects of Iranian Armenian community, which has helped them to survive in their own way, is they've been really focused on developing community institutions that have a focus on Iranian Armenians. Now, the criticism that's come from some scholars, such as George Bonutian, who himself is Iranian Armenian, was that they should have followed the Beirut model, which was more attempting to build an Armenian community that was prepared to return to their homeland. Of course, the nature of the Beirut community being genocide survivors, very, very different dynamic to the Iranian Armenian community, the majority of which didn't have a direct connection to the Armenian genocide. However, what this has meant is that you have all of these institutions in cities like Tehran, Tabriz, Isfahan, which cater for the Armenian community. And the church's role as a major landowner, being able to provide cheap rents to Armenian families with the intention of keeping them in Armenian neighborhoods and keeping them from immigrating to the West, has also been important to maintaining their separateness. And of course, finally, most importantly, in the modern era, the Armenian school system, which has, for want of a better word, indoctrinated Armenians with a sense of separateness from the rest of the society, but also educated them in their language and history.
James, if we compare the Armenian and Irish cases, how Irish and Armenians in diaspora perceive their identities? Are there similarities?
There's similarities in the sense that there is an idea of a homeland. For the Irish, it's the island of Ireland. There also is a sense of colonialism and there being an enemy for the Armenians. That's the Ottoman Empire and the Turks. For the Irish, that was the British, who they felt tried to absorb them. And so there are some similarities in the two. There also is a similarity in the tension between people from the homeland and people in the diaspora. The diaspora of the Irish has been very strong in supporting causes which people in Ireland consider to be detrimental in some cases, particularly their support for the Irish Republican Army in Northern Ireland. Similarly, they often see them as, they call them plastic paddies, those in the diaspora. That is, on the surface, they pretend to be Irish, but in reality, they're American or Australian or something else. But this is a tension for some. There is also, of course, the emphasis on the Irish language, which is the same as the Armenian community, and there have been attempts to educate people in the Irish language and keep the language alive, which has been not really very successful. After a few generations, it disappears, mainly because people don't see a value in it. The other issue is the role of the church. The Catholic Church was very strong in the Irish community and was a strong foundation of keeping a separate identity and keeping an awareness of being Irish. Of course, as I mentioned before, since the 1960s, the church's power over the community has waned. Additionally, being a Catholic in Australia doesn't necessarily mean Irish anymore. There are Italians, there are Maltese, there are Filipinos, there are all sorts of people here now who are Catholic. So the nature of the church has also changed. But similar to the Armenian National Church, the Catholic Church played a big role in maintaining a separate identity in the diaspora.
James, about your book. What's the subject and when it's going to be ready?
So the book is called Religion and Identity in Iran, Armenian Christians in the Islamic Republic. And it's about essentially that the place of religion and also ethnicity and identity in Iran, the debates around it, but looking specifically at the Armenian community's complex relationship with Iranian identity. It's based on fieldwork that I've done in Iran over the past 5-6 years, and it's currently about to go for review. I've found a publisher who's interested, so I'm just finalizing the manuscript to send to them, hopefully by the end of the month. And it will take 1 or 2 years before it's published. But essentially, it's looking at multiple areas that are concerning the Armenian community of Iran, primarily their relationship to Iran and identity, but also the role of the church, the schools, and the genocide narrative in formulating a sense of Armenianness and a sense of Armenian responsibility to one another within Tehran today. Similarly, there are subjects on the laws of the Islamic Republic and how they define Armenians as separate from the rest of the population, looking at how Armenians see themselves in relation to other Iranians, the way they stereotype themselves as being more honest, but also a clannish, cold and closed community, looking at the way they perform on their identities, the debates that they use to they have within the community about their belonging. So, for example, today in Tehran, there's a lot of discussion about the Armenian accent. Many people who grow up in Tehran speak Persian with an Armenian accent. And some members of the community see this as a bit of a disgrace, considering they're growing up in a Persian-speaking city. Why do they not speak it like a native Persian? But those that do have the accent point to the Armenian school system, which means that they grow up only with Armenian friends speaking Armenian, so they end up speaking Persian with an accent. Also looking at the way they define themselves by their activities as opposed to Muslims, such as in drinking alcohol, their attitudes towards veiling. And finally, it finishes with a discussion on the issue of immigration, the large number that are leaving Iran, and for such a small community, what the future of the community holds, considering that a lot of the younger people move abroad to study and never return.
James, thank you very much for the interview. Looking forward for the book.
Thank you, Vahe.